all fought for the freedom of choice, so to each his own. But I think hand grenades, and just a little bit on the extreme side, Jerry.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's funny. I was just looking at you. They're bringing the Marlins and bring anywhere from $1,000 on up. It just depends, I think. Depending on how old it is, I guess. But that one, like I said, that looks pretty old to me. I may be wrong, but it may be newer than I think it is. But it looks pretty old to me. I'd be interested to see if it said Yeah, the other one is just a little different. It may not be a gold, it could be something else. But it's definitely a 39A or some type or another.
And look at it. And, you know, he told me that was a Henry. That's why I picked up on the Henry name, and I didn't even look. But it was great to see some of the old things. You know, I like a lot of the old weapons like that. And you'll find them in places that, you know, my grandpa had this gun or this and that. And it's nice to see the old things. Oh, gosh, I'd love to have that double. I never was good with a double, but I think I could have become good. Over and under to me was a lot easier to shoot, but I never could afford one. But my buddies had them. And so I had an 08-70 most of the time. And before that, I had the Sears and Roebuck Model 20 12-gauge pump to hunt quail with. But it brings back memories of that. But a double's a little bit different to shoot. I don't know, maybe I didn't get my cheek down on it good or what, but my buddy had a 20-gauge Ithaca SKB, and I don't know, it was silver colored and had a lot of engraving on it. Oh, I'd give anything to have that. And by the way, he worked at Otasco's Oklahoma Tire Supply, and him and I reloaded when we was up in Kansas. And gosh, he'd go out 3 or 4 times a week, and he cast everything, his own bullets and all. Now, he had 240XB Remingtons, 27-inch stainless steel barrels. He was a real gun nut. And you walk in his house in the bedroom, you had to step over the guns in the floor, Jerry. But what a nice guy. But that's where he worked at, was Otasco's for many years. This is N0TR.
DJC. The Tesco and Green Horn, it was economy powder at one time or something like that. It was still a Tesco. They were the only Smith & Wesson dealer in the area. And they used to get their submission grid wholesale out of Atlanta. They could get about anything Smith & Wesson made. Then you may have to wait for a while to get something like Model 29, but they didn't jack the prices up on them. Bought a bunch of guns there over the years. And, I always had good memories of the store fishing stuff, and, I could buy shotgun shells cheap there. I remember I bought, I think I had a, I'm going to tell you a story about this SKB in a minute, too, because I don't change. I think the last full case up on a shotgun shell, Winchester shotgun shells I bought for a 20-gauge, I paid $39 a case for. And that was not 250, that was a 500-round case. But let me let this thing drive. I'll tell you a story about this SKB. You're going to find it interesting. For a while, I had an SKB side-by-side. It was a Model 280. They had what I thought was gorgeous walnut on it. But I found out later on, I traded off. I could get anything with it. I might as well be throwing a curved stick at a bird. It was a 12-gauge. It beat me to death every time I shot. But I was talking to my gun. I had a gunsmith there in town. He moved down here to the lake from New Jersey. It's been years ago. It's been back in the early 70s. And I said, those things have some nice water. He said, no, it's just not nice water. What they did is they take plain liquor water and they would paint it. would paint the streaks on it and then cover it with like a polyurethane varnish.
Well, I know Browning always had a high gloss finish on their 22s, but they were most assuredly much lighter than that thing that my neighbor has. My gosh, that thing's heavy. But, yeah, John, his name was John Rock. He's passed away now. He bought all of his weapons there, I'm sure, through the company because he worked there. He had all kinds of awards for salesmanship and such. They finally shut it down years ago. But, God, I think he had every barrel in the world for Thompson contenders. And one of them was a 30 Heron. I just shot that thing a couple of times. And my brother shot it, and he said, that thing needs wheels on it, Tom.
Just had the 357 here, the T's are just... It's like people shoot a 45-70 out of the big ones, which they do. The one I was like, I had a 22 in a contender, which was a good shooter. And I had a 22 Hornet in one, which shot pretty well for a Hornet. But it was loud. My gosh, that thing was loud.
10.5-inch barrel, and I had the long Colt barrel that would shoot 410s. But I never could get any accuracy out of it with, out of that barrel. So I bought me a standard 45 long Colt. And then I bought a 454 Casal bullet mold. And it was a 300 grain semi-wad cutter gas jet bullet. And I started working it up, you know, with the mics and all of that. And I got it up to a little bit over 1,000 foot a second, but my son-in-law wants me to cast him some, and it hurts me to sit for long periods of times, and I haven't done it, but I'm going to before they come home, and I'll give him that for Christmas. If I can remember how to cast bullets anymore, Jerry, it gets a little involved.
Love to cast and load. That was a lot of fun for me back in the days. Pattern bullets and stuff were cheap. But that 45 with the choke gun, that thing was the ATF wasn't real happy about that when they came out with it, but it was rifled like it was supposed to be. And they came out with another one for 44 Magnum. They used to sell a special shot cup with it that you could load up 44 Magnum with it. It did pretty well, I think, but the 45 410 thing was just I know people that had them, and I never shot it.
Well, my buddy take out a muskrat with one of those things at about, well, we was way up high looking down at a strip mine pit, you know, a fishing pit, and he picked that thing off at, Jerry, I'd say it was close to 100 yards, and he was a very good shot. His name was Gary Jones, but I couldn't believe it. I can't imagine what it'd be like to get hit with that 300-grain bullet.